You are listening to a sermon by Jeff Borden, recorded on Sunday, February 13th, 2022, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Hi, good morning, everybody, and thank you, Evan. Nice to see everyone. What a beautiful morning out. I have my window wide open for the first time in a long time. It's just lovely. I've been incredibly busy. I actually, you know, got up this morning thinking about, you know, attending today and looking back at the last 3 years of my life. And I entered into graduate studies in January of 2019 and finished in 2021, April. With that, I was offered another position as an interim director up in Baldy Hughes in Prince George to provide leadership for their organization that was having a multiplicity of organizational problems with stakeholders and all these kind of things. And so when I went into it, I talked to my mentor and said, this may be an opportunity to help pay off my studies, which were pretty expensive. And I'm very grateful that the board of directors of Place Refuge had afforded me some time to go and up there. So what began as a 3-month contract turned into 15 months, and I'm still there. And I think the plane will be landing shortly, because I feel it's in good shape now, and they're vetting for a new ED. So I've been very, very busy. I'm very blessed that I'm in good form, that I've been able to do this and also direct Place Refuge at the same time. I don't want to continue doing two organizations, so it'll be nice to finish that up. I'm anticipating my contract ends in April, and I should be done. And then my plan is to reattend with all of you and return. I'd said to Eric, who I know quite well in my board, that I fly up on a Sunday generally. So when this service is beginning, I'm actually just getting on a plane at YVR on my weekends. So that's what's been happening with my life. And I wrote Evan and said, how many minutes do I have? And he said about 10. And then we did a bit of back and forth. And he goes, well, you can max out at 15. So I'm going to put my iPhone timer on. I've already gone 2 minutes and I'm going to pull my threads. I'm going to speak more on the micro than the macro, because if I want to go into all the different paradigms of, you know, addiction trends and methodologies and how do we work and how do I work, that could take hours. So I'm going to just speak specifically about Place of Refuge and not just, you know, what I think about the program, but how I'm thinking and collectively with the board of directors and our broader based communities of the work we do. What's informed me over the last 10 years, interestingly, in just under 3 weeks on March 5th, coming up, I'll celebrate 10 years there. So I've been there for a while. Place of Refuge, for anyone that doesn't have any context, is a transitional housing program. There's different languages out there, to identify second stage, third stage. I just call it transitional living for men that have completed a first stage of treatment or supportive recovery. The idea came up from Sherbrooke Church with Gary Jansen. Eric Cross, of course, was very involved in that and could speak to it probably more eloquently and accurately than I can, but I do have a general sense of its inception to where it is now. It's been operational since August of 2009, so we're coming up 13 years. Up until I arrived in 2012, it was run by another faith-based supportive recovery program, Metro Vancouver, out in Port Coquitlam, called Hope for Freedom. And we, the board, when I was brought in, I have my own recovery background as well. I thought that I would be a place of refuge for maybe, 3 to 6 months, and I would go back working with the Ministry of Health or something. And it did. Here I still am. Hope for Freedom, it was a satellite program, so they were operating it from a distance and would have monitors and different people take care of the house. But there, because of the distance, there wasn't really a program in place per se. And when I got there, I looked at just an opportunity to create something and actually co-create, I'd rather say. The beautiful home. The photograph that Evan had posted is a dated photograph. You see a very overgrown garden. One of our board members, Neil, from Clarney Church, would work with the men, and there was always a huge garden. It's not quite that big now. We've actually have a new structure in the back, an office that was built with our community supporting churches and so forth. So it does look different. And the webpage, if you've looked at it, is quite dated. And we're in the process right now of putting up a new one, which will hopefully be up soon, which will give a more accurate reflection of the work that's done there. When I think about, the language of addiction, there's all kinds of different ways of identifying the work I do, or, my colleagues do. One of my favorite psychologists, he's retired, he stopped teaching at SFU back in 2005, is a fellow by the name of Bruce Alexander. I think his writing, his contributions, in my opinion, are some of the most relevant and significant, some of that, that I've ever seen. He's written one book called Globalization of Addiction. I'd highly recommend it if you want to get a real sense of the broader picture. He did an article a few years back, and the article basically went, the opposite of addiction is not recovery, but rather human connection, which I would concur with. So the approach and the way that I work with Place of Refuge and the men is very relational, very person-centered, in that each person comes in with their own colors and storyline. As Evan had opened with, that there is choices and how do they get made, and why do people continually use drugs when, in the face of all the evidence, they're running their life into the ground. My answer is quite simple, because it makes sense to them. It's an adaptive way to respond to your environment. The men that I've worked with all have experienced trauma, all of them. And I would say, in the stats I pulled, I would say 75% of them at a minimum come in with concurrent disorders. Used to be called dual diagnosis. That's long gone. It's a multiplicity of disorders. And addiction, if you want, substance use, in my opinion, is just the host. It's how it reflects and shows itself up. There's always the things under the waterline that bring people to using substances, and using them even in the face of the evidence that it's killing them, because it's a way of regulating themselves. So my approach with the men at Place of Refuge is a longer term model, because I believe that the longer they have in a home environment, a non-clinical environment, the more it's comfortable for them and seamless. So we designed the house to be very home-like. Even my office is the same. Open door policy. I stay away from appointments booked and this and that, but rather open door to come in and as you need to, whether it be for a moment, many moments, or an hour. It's a very small staff model. I ran it myself completely for the first 7 or 8 years. I've been mentoring a new staff member by the name of Reeve Doig, who has been training, been with us for 2 years. He provides the daily operations with the men, which I've been able to step back a little bit and do more of the program, the emergent, always emergent program design. We provide one-on-one counseling, quite a lot of it. We have a Bible study on a Monday night, which is facilitated and led by Adam Back from Peace on 52nd Church, and we have Gary Johnson from Sherbrooke that comes in, a couple of associate leaders as well that come in. We used to have leaders from a variety of churches, but now it's down to a few that are running it. And it's been a fantastic contribution to the program. We are unique in that we are abstinent-based in the, you know, the times of harm reduction, and that's a huge talk in and of itself, so I won't go into all of it. Rather, that abstinence is also a form of harm reduction, and all is reducing harm, everything. But we are abstinent-based, and there's not very many in Vancouver, Metro Vancouver, that are anymore. Most programs are running what's called ORTs, opiate replacement therapies. They have some benefit. They do mitigate some the amount of deaths we're seeing with the opioid crisis. But as far as a treatment model and longer term sustainability, the abstinence based approach, in my opinion, is the way to go. At least one of the ways to go. It's not the only way. Men that come in have to be 3 months clean. And that's just so they can seamlessly come into the program, and we're not providing medical detox, stuff like that. We do a lot of outsourcing, so I work with our collateral referring partners and stakeholders in the Vancouver area for, you know, access and assessment unit over at VGH for psychiatric assessments, Vancouver Coastal Health, what's called wraparound services. They provide, you know, doctor, nurse, mental health supports. We have three or four of those that we outsource our residents to attend to get more complex work that's needed. The mandate for Place of Refuge is to help men reintegrate into the workforce or the employment workforce or the educational stream. And that's where my passion is. One is what I would call their hopes and dreams. That's where I'm interested in my work, to help leverage for these guys, and also to look at all of them like very important people, very eye level, kind of flat structure approach, organizational approach, where I'm very eye level with them. There's not a hierarchy, which makes it a very comfortable setting for the men. And I'm looking at my iPhone saying it's 9 minutes and 40 seconds. I tack on the other 2 minutes that I was opening with, I'd be about 11, Evan. So I'm going to really honor the 10 and much less than 15 minutes. But that's basically just a brief about Place of Refuge. I'll close with, we are going to be expanding one more program. We're going to be doing the feasibility inquiry and moving forward with that this year. There's a need. I have a huge wait list. So we're looking to expand one more house at some point this year. And I think that I'll park it there. And if anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask. And thank you for having me and listening and about Place of Refuge.